Welcome to Entrepreneurship by Design, the Dr. C podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Caroline, or simply Dr. C. Tune in every 2 to 5 weeks, every Monday, as we explore the unique journeys of entrepreneurs. Our podcast sheds light on the paths entrepreneurs have taken in their respective industries. Each episode, we dive into the stories of entrepreneurs, their challenges, triumphs, and the insights gained along their journey. We believe in the power of innovation, resilience, and the entrepreneurial spirit that drives success. Together, we'll learn from a diverse array of entrepreneurs united by their passion for making a difference. Now is the time to unlock the secrets of entrepreneurship. Now is the time to be inspired, to learn, and to craft your own path to success. Join me, Dr. C, as we embark on this journey together. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Entrepreneurship by Design with Dr. C. I'm so glad you're here with us today because we have an incredible guest with us, Simon. Simon is a Canadian who currently lives in Ontario. He was a member of the Canadian Armed Forces for a little over 26 years, starting as an infantryman and then becoming an aircraft structures technician. Think auto body for airplanes, and eventually becoming an institutional leader where he was promoted into the trade of aircraft maintenance superintendent. Simon has completed many formal leadership military training courses, and in 2021, he completed a Master of Arts in Leadership degree from Royal Roads University, where he found his desire to help emerging leaders create strong foundations as they embark on their leadership journeys. Simon retired from regular forces in the Canadian Armed Forces so he could follow his passions of being a private pilot, riding motorcycles, running, and being a host of his acclaimed leadership-themed podcast, Trench Leadership, a podcast from the front, a show for emerging leaders across all professions. Trench Leadership aims to offer advice, inspiration, and practical tools as they lead from the trenches. In September 2022, Simon rejoined the Canadian Armed Forces as well. Thank you so much, Simon, for being here today. It is such a pleasure to have you, and I would love for you to just dive into your journey, how you got here today, and then we can go a little bit deeper.
Yeah, well, I'll start by saying thank you so much for having me on the show and have a guest. I've checked out a bunch of the episodes that you've released, and your guests are diverse, and I'm just very honored to be a part of that group. So thank you so much for that. So I would like to start off by saying that I'm a Canadian, and there's a few things every time I get on a guest there's a few things I feel I need to get out there. So the first one is no one in Canada says a boot. It's not a thing. A boat does sound a little weird, but it's definitely not a boot. Poutine really is the thing here, but it has to be done with actual cheese curds. If you try doing it with mozzarella cheese, you're just ruining it and wasting your time and money. I'll just put that out there. And lastly, I don't know if I get to keep my Canadian card for this, but I don't really like maple syrup. So it could be a thing, just put it out there. It's good,
borderline.
But I don't know what I think. So I'll just put that out there.
Well, I appreciate you putting that out there.
So as far as my journey goes, I'm 48, so I like to think that I've lived a bit of a life. My professional career is one where I started at 19 years old. I joined the Canadian Infantry in the Royal Canadian Regiment, and I did that for 5 years. I had a great time doing that, and it was one of the things about joining the military, for especially in the mid-90s, it's more often than not people have that calling, that desire to want to help people. And I had that as well. My dad was in the military. There's a pretty extensive lineage on either sides of my family for that. So I had that desire. Mm-hmm. And then so I joined the infantry. That was my way to get in. But I was pretty immature. I thought I knew everything about everything, as most young 19-year-old men do. But that quickly became clear that that was not the case. So I did that for 5 years, and I had some experiences, some international and domestic tours inside of that. And those types of things were the items that helped shape me to be who I wanted to be, or who I put me on the path of trying to be the shape of the person I wanted to get to. But like all things had to change. And after 5 years, it was time to go and do something else. So we have a program in the Canadian military whereby you can switch your trades and get retrained and stay in the military. So I did that. So I joined the Royal Canadian Air Force, and I became what's called an aircraft structures technician. And so it's very, very, very loosely like auto body for airplanes. So I did that for a bunch of years, and that's actually where my formal leadership training came into play, because I started getting promoted and doing the different things. And in these particular aircraft trades, you get, you know, when you get to the rank of warrant officer, you become what's, we all become what's called an aircraft maintenance superintendent. And that's because I'm really no longer fixing airplanes. I'm doing paperwork. I'm an administrator. And they really, at that time in a person's career, they don't want me on the floor anymore. So I became an AM sup, as it's called. And I did that for a couple of years, did a bunch more different tours and postings and different things like that. And eventually I got posted here to Ottawa, which is where I live now, which is Canada's national city. National capital city, rather. And we, I did a bunch of different things. I got promoted to the rank of Master Warrant Officer, which is my current rank. And then I started a Master of Arts in Leadership degree. And this was kind of a pivotal moment for me, because at this point I'd had 24 years in the military. I was in succession planning. I was going to do all the things. And I just assumed I was going to stay with the military till they kicked me out. And, but with this Master of Arts in Leadership was a degree program that was at a, is at a civilian college, a civilian university, sorry. And I was the only military person inside the cohort. And that was a big deal, because up to that point, I'd kind of surrounded myself with all my other military friends, and we talked about the same things and had the same jokes. And that's a pretty typical thing for professionals or people in any type of circle to do. You kind of hang around with your work friends, because we spend most of our waking time doing our work stuff. But now all of a sudden here I am, I'm doing this graduate program, and I don't have any military people to hang out with. So that was, I had a choice to make. I can, and at the same token, the leadership education that I was receiving was very, very different than the leadership training I was receiving in the military. Mm-hmm. The military's training program is very good for preparing us for the rank we're at, plus one level, but now all of a sudden, but it's very specific to what we're doing. Now, all of a sudden, I'm getting this graduate level training, and the blinders are wide open, and I'm getting these new ideas are being thrown at me. I didn't know how to go about it. And in the military, it was very much about leading with our brain, because it's the military that's required. And this Master of Arts in Leadership was about leading with our heart. And I had a choice to make. I was like, well, do I embrace this lead with our heart, or do I not? I chose to try and embrace that and understand it. Now, admittedly, I let the pendulum swing hard to the heart side of the things. And eventually it found its way back to the middle, and I found Simon's leadership style. And it's a blend of knowing when to lead with my brain and a blend of knowing when to lead with my heart. And sometimes it's right in the middle, and that's where I try and go. That was ultimately the thing that made me realize that maybe the military was time for me to go do something else. So I retired from the regular force. I took a job so that I could go and find all the passions in my life that I realized I wasn't having and really experiencing anymore. So I went and got recertified as a private pilot. I am a terrible, horribly inefficient runner, but I've done 3 half marathons now. I ride my motorcycle. I do all these other different things too, and I'm still able to work. And after 2 years away from the military, I was actually able to re-enroll in the military. And now I'm a primary reservist, which is a part-time job. I still work at Calian. I do my, and ultimately I do my podcast, which is Trench Leadership, a podcast from the front. A show to help emerging leaders, which we can talk about later on. And here I am. I have a 21-year-old daughter who wants to be a veterinarian, so I never get to stop working, because I foolishly told her I would help her pay for that. So here we are. And that's it. That's that. If you can believe it, that's the Cole's notes. That's the short version of things.
Today's episode is sponsored by the Start Here Conference.
Hey there, fabulous folks. Welcome to the Start Here Conference, where the fun begins and success stories unfold.
Yep, you heard it right. We're here to kickstart your journey with a big dose of energy and a sprinkle of magic.
Picture this, a place where inspiration flows, connections bloom, and dreams take flight.
At Start Here, we're all about keeping it real and having a blast while doing it.
No stuffy suits or boring speeches here, just good vibes and endless possibilities.
So whether you're a seasoned entrepreneur or just dipping your toes in the water, there's something here for everyone.
From incredible breakout sessions to a dance party that'll have you jumping out your seats and showing us your best moves, this event will have it all.
And hey, did we mention the food? Delicious bites and refreshing drinks to keep you fueled up and ready to conquer the world.
So what are you waiting for? Grab your ticket, bring your sparkle, let's make some magic happen at the Start Here Conference.
And now back to the show.
Well, I love it. And I appreciate you taking us through that journey, because there is a lot there too to unpack. But I love that you really got to experience opening up your energy to something new. So opening up your heart, versus just using your logic and your brain aspect with leadership, because leadership can look so different for so many people. There's so many people wanting to go into those leadership roles. And I'm really curious, based off of your extensive leadership experience, in particular with the Canadian Armed Forces, what are some of the key principles or lessons that emerging leaders should prioritize as they embark on their own leadership journeys?
Well, I would say the first thing I would suggest to emerging leaders, especially, is to know that you don't know everything. And especially remember that there is no expectation for you to know everything. Just because we're in leadership roles doesn't mean there's an idea that we should have to know everything. And if your supervisor or boss has placed that on you, it will be a difficult conversation, but it's very important to remind them that you don't know everything. Dot, dot, dot. And that's okay. It's okay not to know everything. Own the fact that we don't understand it all. But when we recognize we don't know it at all, that takes me to my next point, is try to figure it out. Figure out what you don't know and learn there. Learn from it. Go forward. Everything we're going to be doing is always going to be a journey of figuring it out and moving forward.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I think that's a huge lesson too for a lot of people. Once you get into a leadership role, you never stop learning. You're going to learn from different people that you have to maybe switch up your management style for a certain person based off of how your energies or personalities combined as well. And you just have to navigate that. But there's no right or wrong way. It's just being able to figure out what works best for the group, for the company, for everything that you're doing at work as well. And I'm really curious, because I want to go back to what you said. You have your Master's of Arts in Leadership and also hosting your own leadership themed podcast. What have been some of the most impactful insights or stories you've encountered in regarding to leadership from the trenches, essentially, but what insights can benefit entrepreneurs in their own leadership journeys and roles?
I think one of the main takeaways I've really heard, or one of the common themes, maybe is a better way to put it, I've heard as I've been speaking to different leaders at various levels from around the world. Mm-hmm. The first one would be, it's never too early to start learning leadership stuff. Because the fact of the matter is, our leadership styles will change, leadership terminology will change, but really at its core, there are very similar basic principles of leadership. Communicate, listen to your people, know your people, you know, be honest. Those things are never changing. The majority of leadership gurus out there, they're all saying the same thing, but it's about embracing them and really understanding them. I think for emerging leaders, especially from an entrepreneurial perspective, the big thing would be to understand that if someone is looking towards becoming an entrepreneurial leader, it's never too soon to start learning about the leadership side of things. Forbes released a really great article where they discussed the fact that in a lot of organizations, the average age for an organization to provide training, leadership training to a member, is 47 years old. That's far too late. On average, that means a person has been inside their organization for 12 to 15 years, and more than likely, they've already gone through 2 to 3 different leadership positions. So habits have been set, perspectives have been put in place. And how do we now go about changing those mindsets? It's very, very difficult because we've been doing things a certain way. We've found our flavor of how we choose to lead. Now, imagine if that person said, you know, I think I want to be a leader, but where do I start? What type of leadership do I need to check out? Go find podcasts, go to your supervisor, ask these questions and figure it out. The answers will come. It might not be easy, might not be quick, but there's a mountain of information out there. Go to Google, figure it out.
Yeah. Google has been my best friend. When you don't know, Google.
Yeah, exactly.
You can learn a lot, or a ChatGPT. That's been enough. I
absolutely. You know, I'll tell you. So talking about that, what is going to lead me into my next point. So some of the different, well, actually, we'll talk about it for later on for tools.
Let's talk about it now. Let's talk about the tools.
Okay. Fantastic. Yeah, I appreciate that. So as far as one of the things I've been using is within my leadership podcast is every fifth episode, so the fives and the zeros, I release it's a narrated episode that I talk about something else. And up to this point, generally, they tend to be about 15 to 20 minutes-ish in length. And it's me writing the article from start to finish, doing all the research and everything. And that's including all the filler and all the different points. That generally would take me 5 to 6 hours, depending on how in-depth the article was or how much research and quoting I was doing. Mm-hmm. So 15 episodes ago, I said to myself, I'm just going to go into ChatGPT and I'm going to tell it to write me a 15-minute podcast article on whatever active listening I think is what it was. And sure enough, within 5 minutes, I'm sure it wasn't even 2 minutes, it blasted out this episode. And I didn't read it verbatim, but what it did was it provided me a really fantastic template to go in and allow me to add my different points and all the different things. So talking about specific tools, I would say ChatGPT is not something to fear. I really don't believe it's going to take over the universe, but it's about finding these types of tools and finding a way to help them work for your benefit and how they'll be a tool that will work for you, if that makes any sense. I'm trying not to babble.
No, that was perfect. And I think chat has been like my new, outside of Google, those two have been so beneficial for me because it is time. We have a lot of different things and a lot of different hats that we wear as entrepreneurs, multiple jobs, doing podcasts, YouTube channels, all these other things. But how do you condense that time so you have more energy to show up in the things you want to do? And a lot of times, because I think a lot of entrepreneurs face so many different challenges and obstacles of trying to figure everything out all at once, especially in the beginning and as you start to grow. But what have been some of the challenges or obstacles you've faced in building your business?
So the first challenge I've faced, and I think it's one that most people will go through, is not really believing in myself. I'm like, even to this day, when I'm doing my podcast or one of my side hustles is I do aircraft refinishing. In my mind, the work that I'm doing is terrible and no one's going to actually want to pay me for it. And in my podcast, no one's going to want to listen to my episodes because it's just Simon's tiny little podcast and no one hears it. The numbers very clearly show otherwise. The analytics show that the podcast is getting reached to people throughout the world. I get calls all the time, maybe not all the time, but I get frequent calls for people asking me to do upholstery on their aircraft. So clearly the word is getting out there. But it's about believing myself. And every time someone calls, I can hear it in the back of my mind. They don't really want you. They don't have enough time or money, or they don't know your quality of work. Well, it's different people all the time. So obviously something's good. And the only way I do absolutely no advertising for the aircraft upholstery business. It's based strictly on word of mouth and the little tags, the upholstery tags I have sewn into my upholstery items.
I think that's the hard part because a lot of people struggle with that imposter syndrome or the belief in themselves because of maybe the world around them or just how they grew up. I was just having this conversation the other day where a lot of people will project their own insecurities or fears onto you when in reality, I think it's having that tunnel vision of what you want to achieve and how you're helping people because listening to your podcast, people are getting so much wisdom of leadership and especially the individual ones too, the individual episodes of just all the research you've done, the time and energy you're putting into something to really help other people. And I think that's what leadership is all about as well. And I'm really curious, what aspects of military leadership do you believe can be applied to the business world?
Really great question. I've often wondered that because I feel there's a lot of ways that things translate over. And in the beginning, when I first retired from the forces, I always knew there was ways that things could roll over, but I didn't really understand what they might be. So I think some of the military leadership traits that roll nicely over are one of them are sometimes leaders, they just simply need to be directive in how they're going to issue orders and how job tasks are going to be disseminated. The Canadian military operates very similarly to the United States military in that our orders process is very clearly laid out and how we do things is very clearly defined and thought out before we take a step forward. So that's helpful. And the irony, especially in the Canadian Air Force, the irony is we pride ourselves in being very good at maintaining timings, but at the same time, recognizing that we need to be very flexible in those timings. And that can be a challenge in organizations and teams to realize, okay, this is the goal. This is where we want to go, but maybe we can't quite get there. So how can we be flexible enough and build in backup plans to allow us to be able to work around that goal in case things need to shift to the left or to the right? And that's a strength of the Canadian Forces.
I love that. And I'm really curious because I know that is a strength from what you're saying. How can entrepreneurs incorporate those military-inspired leadership strategies to enhance their own leadership effectiveness?
Well, I think one of the ways they can do that is by when they're building a plan, is to think about the plan. Okay, what might go wrong in each of these steps? One of the things in aircraft maintenance we talk about are critical failure junctions, where we know that if we don't take a step back and have a look, there's potential for a critical problem. So I would recommend for entrepreneurs, when they're building any type of plan, have a look at the plan, step back and say, okay, where are the points that we might have a critical problem? And then if we think this is the spot, where can we build up backup plans to go forward? And that's the way that to help you help a leader be able to be flexible throughout the entire plan.
And I think it's being able to execute it, right? Because a lot of times people might not know, okay, well, I have this information, but what does that look like? How do I execute that? And I love that's what your podcast is really about, to bring it back. But even through your own podcast, you offer such practical tools and advice for so many emerging leaders to have a place to go. And can you share some of the specific strategies or techniques that entrepreneurs can implement to enhance their own leadership skills and foster a culture of effective leadership within their organizations?
So I have two things. The first one, I cannot stress enough, is the art of active listening. There is nothing more or nothing more powerful than a leader who will take the time to listen to their people. Yeah. And it's even more important when the follower feels that, or when the leader, sorry, doesn't really think they need to be there. You need to put on the show. You need to act like you're there, like you're listening. Even if you don't agree to what's being said, it's about taking the moment and being in there in that moment. And the practical way to do that would be to put your phone away. Don't just put it on silent and put it on the table. Put it away so it's out of sight. That sends a message, a very strong, powerful message. And make eye contact and let the person finish their sentence. That is a type of different thing, because the message that's being sent when someone is not allowing the sentence to be finished or the point to be brought fully forward is you're already trying to move on to the next thing. And that in turn is invalidating the point that's trying to be brought out. Yeah. The other thing I would like to mention is that it's very, very important to allow the person to stay in that moment. When that person that you're listening to is bringing up a point, it's very difficult for us, especially as leaders, to not try and solve that problem, to not try and already coming up with the solution or the response to that. Stay in the moment. It is very difficult. I recognize that. I struggle with it all the time. But remaining in that moment and allowing the person to get their thought out there, and then just take a second, say, hey, that's a great thought. I kind of need a moment to figure out what my response is going to be. That's telling that person that, okay, I've been heard, and they just need a bit of time, and that's okay. The time is all right.
Yeah. And it gives that space, a safe space to really go to your leader, and also being a leader, being able to create that safe space where someone feels that they can go and confide in you of what's going on and what needs to change or shift or what the problem is, and also allowing them to figure it out too. Because sometimes when you talk it out loud, especially I'm a former therapist, but being able to create that space for people to talk it through and really hear themselves say it out loud, sometimes they're like, oh, and be able to solve the solution or have a solution to the problem, but knowing that they can go to their superior and knowing that they have that space to talk it through and know that they're being heard, seen, and validated in what they're experiencing and how they can come up with a solution together or a response. But I think it's creating that space is number one. And I love that's what you're talking about too, because I think it's so important. And there's a lot of leaders that do it, and there's a lot of leaders that could tweak some things from my personal experience.
I completely agree with you. And it's difficult. Like I recognize, especially as leaders, more often than not, leaders are, they're highly driven, highly motivated people who want to press forward, but sometimes slow is fast.
Yes. Right?
And that's the big thing with that. And when we're taking the time to actively listen to people, what's happening now is, which brings me to my next point, is the importance of for the leader to build a community. And that community builds that area of safe space that you had spoken about earlier. It builds an area where people are actually feeling free to be heard and speak their mind. And how many leaders have we all heard said, I have an open door policy, but then you actually go to the door. The door's either A, physically closed, or really they'll say, come back at noon, I've got a meeting right now. Well, then don't say you have an open door policy. Recognizing people are busy, but set times aside in their calendar. So my recommendation when I have people say to me, okay, well, great, I have an open door policy. How can I genuinely mean that? The recommendation that I would put out there, and I've gotten this from leaders from around the world, is to build time in the calendar, in your daily calendar, say, okay, listen, from 11 to 12, every day this week, that's my true open door policy time. I have nothing built into my calendar, no meetings, nothing. That's the time that people can come and go from there. And it's just time to have there. And if we can't make it today, well, then, you know, tomorrow, that's the time to go and do that. That's sending that message. Okay, I'm actually here for my team and building that sense of trust and community, a practical way that that can be done.
Oh, that's very practical. And I think too, it's creating that space in the calendar in particular, because I think a lot of times you're right. I've heard stories where the door is open, but it's like, oh, come back, or, oh, I don't have time right now. Let's talk later this week. And then it might never happen, or they might not have the courage to go back to talk about it as well, depending on what the situation is, but really building that in their calendar and knowing, okay, this is that time set aside for you to come, and knowing that they can come is huge.
Absolutely. And I would also say, from the perspective of the leader, or sorry, of the follower, to remember that even if sometimes the leader is going to be in a position where they're not available in that moment. So if they say, I can't do something right now, that doesn't mean we're being shunned or put down or not being heard. Right. It just means maybe we're just busy in the moment. So come back again, or ask for a time when things might be able to come together. Everyone's busy. So it's about working with each other to find that communal area.
Absolutely. And that's what it's about. It's creating that community, so you know you can go, and it's not like, oh, well, I'm not going to talk to you ever, but it just come back at a different time when we have the space and the capacity too, because you don't want to go into a meeting and talk about something that might be uncomfortable or needs to be addressed when the person's not really listening or physically and mentally there to be supported in the way they need to be, or be able to speak to them in that regard. And I'm really curious, because I know transitioning from full-time being in the military to now hosting your podcast and pursuing your passions, what advice would you give entrepreneurs who might be considering a major career shift or exploring their own passions outside of their business ventures?
I think from the experiences that I've had by going and doing all of these things all at the same time, the advice that I would give people is to set out a realistic time frame and be very aware of the amount of things a person is taking on. So the example I would like to use is myself. When I retired from the regular force, so the active service, I went and did all these different things, and I did them all at the same time. I started running more. I started riding my motorcycle more. I've started a new job. I went and got recertified for my pilot's license. I took on some new training, and I was doing a whole bunch of other different things. I was doing them all at once, and that was fine. I felt great. And I was like, yeah, I'm living my passions. Fantastic. What I didn't realize was, in the process of doing all those different things, I was kind of pushing everyone and everything else away from me, because I was so focused on this new environment, this new thing that I was doing. And my podcast, I had no idea how much my time appreciation for the amount of work it was going to take to get the podcast going was terrible. Just terrible. So I all of these different things happened. And what I didn't realize was, I put my horse blinders on, as I like to say, and I was only focused on these things, and I pushed everyone and everything else aside. And that was a pretty significant fail on my part. And it took a long time to realize that that's what was happening. And I'm still figuring out how I'm going to repair some of that. It's tough. So my advice would be, great, have a list of the different things you want to do, prioritize them, understand that while we can do everything, I truly believe we can do everything, we just can't do everything all at once.
Yep.
So pick it all out, find the balance, and then go forward.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's a big part of it. Prioritizing each season of life is a little bit different, and recognizing that you can do all these things, but it might not be at the exact same time. And I'm curious, because you mentioned it earlier and just now too, because I know you're a private pilot, a motorcycle rider, avid runner, but how do these passions contribute to your leadership philosophy?
Well, I think part of it is, part of my philosophy is that I can do these things. If you need to follow your passions, the tagline that I use with my podcast is, leadership without passion limits the depth of your vision. I find if a person is in a leadership role and they don't have the passion to be in that leadership position, they don't have the passion to want to lead people, they don't have the passion for the organization, the projects, all of those different types of things, that affects the entire community that the leader is responsible for driving forward, for managing.
Right.
And so how, if the leader doesn't feel that passion, how are they able to inspire passion and energy inside their team? So one of the ways, and it's just the reality of it, is in some businesses and all of our organizations, there are going to be things we don't have passion for. That's okay. But where do we get that passion from? So I chose to do that with getting recertified as a private pilot. Night flying at night over the city of Ottawa is in the summer is one of the most beautiful things you'll ever experience. Mm-hmm. So when I need a little bit of re-energizing or I'm about to go into a project I don't particularly care about, and that's okay. I will go and usually do a couple of flights and go up and just say, yeah, that's right. I just even being here is a privilege. And I go and I do that, and that re-energizes me, resets my brain, and I go and do my thing.
Yeah. And I think it's the mindset, right? Being able to have that relief, because a lot of people are just really in their business sometimes and they're so focused on what they need to do day in, day out, or even their jobs. But how can entrepreneurs find outlets or activities like you have to help them develop and maintain a strong leadership mindset?
I think the first thing that I would suggest would be to be honest with ourselves. What do we want to do? What do we not want to do? It's just because someone is in an organization that say you work for Under Armour. Well, it doesn't mean I have to enjoy wearing Under Armour shirts. Go find the thing that brings you passion and be honest with yourself. Sometimes it's not obvious. Sometimes it just involves going away and just figuring it out. Sometimes it means there are other sacrifices to follow that particular passion. It's about being honest with ourselves to know how we go and find those things. And I guess if a person is also in a position where they're a spot where they don't know what their passions might want to be, very, very likely there are things that we just don't know we want to do. Maybe you like skydiving. We'll never know until you throw yourself out of a perfectly good airplane. So go try it out. You know, maybe it turns out that's your thing and you want to go free fall. We don't know until you do it. So go test it all out. That's okay. And then you'll land on it. Might take a while, but I promise the leaders out there, you entrepreneurs as well, you'll land on it. You'll figure it out.
Yeah, I think that's really good words of wisdom, because I do think sometimes you don't know what you like until you actually try it. You might see something and be like, oh, that wouldn't be fun. But when you actually are doing it, no matter what it is, it could be really fun. Like jumping out of an airplane or learning a new dance or something. It could be something so different, feet on the ground, you know?
Exactly. Could I give a quick example?
Please.
Okay. So my daughter is 21, as I mentioned, and years ago when we were living in Cold Lake, Alberta. So it's kind of northern central Canada. And we were getting ready to get posted. We were leaving Cold Lake and we were actually moving to Quebec. And so it was the second day, and our neighbors across the street, they had made California rolls and they were fantastic. I, up to that point, didn't really like sushi because I don't really like seafood for a lot of ways. So I had decided I don't like that. So we're sitting there and my daughter up to that point had never, she was about 12 or so. Mm-hmm. She had never had sushi. And so she's looking at me and I'm saying, well, you should try that. We're at a friend's house. It's kind of rude. And she said, well, I've never had this. Well, how do you know you don't like it if you've never had it? I'm like, well, she's a good point. So whatever. So the couple hours later, she's tried it. Now she's in love with it. And she's looking at me. She noticed I haven't had this. She's like, Dad, how come you're not trying this? Why I don't like sushi. And without skipping a beat, she's like, have you ever had it? And I did. As the words were leaving my mouth, I knew where this was going. I'm like, well, no, I haven't. So how do you know if you don't like it? And I'm like, oh, you got me. So I tried a piece. And I'll tell you, I love sushi now. I will admit I'm a California rolls and very North American sushi type of guy, very standard type of deal. But you don't know something. You don't know if you like something until you try it. And you got to try it to figure it out.
That's true. Because looks can be deceiving, right? Like, I mean, I am a huge sushi lover, but at first, like, I think a lot of people, when they look at something, especially food in particular, it's like, oh, that doesn't look appetizing. But then you have no idea what it tastes like. And there's a pleasant surprise sometimes. Sometimes you're like, no, I never want this again. But I think it's that opportunity to continue to grow and learn and evolve of what you like, what you don't like. And I'm really curious, in your experience as a leader, what role does continuous learning and personal development play in effective leadership?
I tell you, it's absolutely vital. The fact of the matter is leadership styles aren't going to change. I kind of alluded to it a little bit earlier. The basic tenet of all leadership is very likely not going to change over time. You know, Listen to your people, talk to your people, hear your people, and be honest. All of those things, they're not going away. That's what it is to be a leader. But there are different ways of it to be said, different ways of it to be looked at, different ways of it to be concerned, to be considered. I remember when I was promoted to Master Warrant Officer, that's the level where we really shift from a tactical leader to an institutional leader. And there's an expectation that we're just going to stop looking at problems at a basic level and really look at them from a wicked or a complex problem. But in the Canadian military system, where our leadership training is fed to us, is we don't really start talking about those types of leadership or those types of problem areas until we get to the master warrant officer level. Well, that's too late, because my role is already expected to be that of a leader who I'm going to be advising the commander. But if I don't know what these things are, it's too late. So the trick with all of that is, I wish I had heard about these things 15 years earlier. And that's actually how trench leadership came about. Because as I was going through my master's training, I kept hearing saying, oh, this idea of systems thinking or transformational leadership, which we'd heard a lot about, but hearing it in relation to other things, I wish I had heard about those things back when I was a new leader. Not necessarily graduate level understanding of these things, but knowing they exist. So when an idea or a concept really stands out to me, I can go explore that more. Like we talked about earlier, Google is a really great friend for going and learning about information, understanding that the first hit might not necessarily be true. Yeah. But
yeah, good disclaimer.
Yeah, yeah.
It's very true. And you're right. I think a lot of times we're not exposed to things maybe at first when we really need it. Like 15 years ago, it might have been really beneficial just hearing it, seeing it, experiencing it in a different perspective versus 15 years later. And I think that's even with entrepreneurship. A lot of people haven't been exposed to it, like that are my age or a little bit older, that haven't or didn't know what it was. Like I had no idea what it was until I started really exploring my options. But I think now the younger generations are seeing there's options out there, especially in the leadership aspect of what you want to make it. But it's just being open-minded and knowing that we're constant learners. At least that's what I think. I'm always learning something from every individual I get to the privilege of interviewing, but also just every day you're exposed to something new, a different client, a different perspective. And I think that's what allows us to have new information to make a new perspective and idea from it. And I love that's what leadership is really about, when you're dealing with different people, different walks of life, different backgrounds, to really bridge that gap to help them thrive, but also you at the same time. And I'm really curious, just from your journey, what are your top two or three tips when it comes to being a leader, as well as an entrepreneur, podcast host? What would you say is a common thread that you've seen, or just tip you can give us?
One of the common threads would be that it's never too late to start being a leader, and it's almost mm-hmm. never too early to start being a leader. And what I would say in that is it's okay to know that your leadership journey is going to start when you want it to start. Don't wait for it to begin. If you want to be an entrepreneur, be an entrepreneur. If you want to be a leader, be a leader. You don't necessarily have to go. And I backpedal a little bit by saying being a leader doesn't necessarily mean being in that formal leadership position. Being an entrepreneur doesn't necessarily mean the formal owner of a business. It can be any types of things. It can be someone who is starting a leadership or a lemonade stand at the end of their road. A leader is someone who is just taking their team together and taking them out for a meal to get to know each other. That's a form of leadership. It's about understanding that the path forward is yours to create. It's on us to decide how we want our leadership to be and how we want to do it. Yeah. That's probably the biggest thought I would have on that. Mm.
I appreciate you sharing that. And I'm really curious, with everything that you do have going on, I know you have a lot going on, but what are your future goals or aspirations for the next year or so that you see happening for you and the podcast and everything else?
Well, so on a personal level, what I would really love to see happen is I'm in the process of trying to buy an airplane, and that's challenging. It's not a super expensive one, but it's getting me going, so I'm able to do more with my flying and move into the next natural steps of my flying training and being able to fly more complex aircraft. So I'm hoping to be able to have that completed inside the next year. As far as my professional goals, I've got a lot going on right now. So I think my next year will just be to ensure that I am doing the very best job that I can do and kind of seeing and waiting for the next challenge to come its way for me. And as far as the podcast goes, I would very much like to see that kind of take its next step into a more international speakership role, because I would like to continue talking more about the idea of community and how to build those communities together. I think that's really, truly my passion from a leadership perspective, is how leaders can bring people together and the power that comes with that in a good community type of way.
I love it. And I think it's so important when it comes to community to bring people together, because I do believe we're better together, stronger together, when we have everyone on the same page or at least on the same path to really make such a difference. And I love that's what your podcast is. And I can't wait to see you speaking on stages internationally and just really bringing that to life, because I think it's really important to talk about it more and give people different perspectives and ideas of how they can really stand in their own power, but also be able to help around them as well.
Thanks so much for that. I can't wait to.
I know. I feel it. I feel it for you. But Simon, I've been enjoying this conversation so much, but where can people find you, find your podcast? We're going to link everything below, but if you could let us know too.
So thank you so much for the opportunity to explain all of that. So basically the podcast, A Trench Leadership, a podcast from the front, can be found wherever you listen to your podcasts. It's everywhere. It's also on YouTube, which is fantastic. I've just started that. It's very new. But also if people want to reach out to me, I would say the best way to do it would be on LinkedIn. You could find me at Simon Cardinal, K-A-R-D-Y-N-A-L, or Trench Leadership, a podcast from the front. That's probably the better way to come to me on LinkedIn. It's also available on Facebook. Or if someone just wants to send me a message and connect with me, please feel free to reach out at simonk@trenchleadership.ca.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Simon, for coming on today, just sharing all of your wisdom about leadership, how you're really impacting the world, starting with the military, but now so many other leaders around the world that can really benefit from the tools, practical tools and techniques that you have to offer on all your episodes personally, and also when you have other individuals on too. But thank you again for just coming on and sharing your journey with us.
Thanks so much for having me. This has been a real pleasure.
Absolutely. Make sure to like, subscribe, comment below. What was the biggest takeaway from Simon today? I'm sure he would love to see that comment, and we'll see you on the next episode.